Colossians 1, verses 15 to 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
It'd be great if you could grab a Bible. We're going to spend a bit of time looking at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, the passage that Elspeth read for us just at the start. So if you haven't got your Bibles, why don't you grab it, and it'd be really good to have that in front of you. Every evening at around 5 o'clock, different people from the government stand in front of a camera, like I'm doing today, and update us all on how things are going in the fight against the coronavirus. Now, there's huge pressure on the shoulders of those individuals who are speaking and who are dealing with the discussions. Here's Dominic Raab speaking there the other day with an enormous weight of responsibility on him and on his colleagues as they decide things about the schools, about the lockdown, when to release things, how to help the poor, how to help businesses, how to help the NHS and so on. Now, I want you to imagine with me that instead of a government minister standing there, Jesus Christ was standing there in the middle. Now, it's okay that Christians take different views about our politicians. That's fine, but we shouldn't have different views about Jesus. And the question that the Colossian Christians were asking in our passage is Jesus Christ big enough to be able to help us with everything that we have to face in life? Is he big enough? Now, the Colossian Christians weren't thinking about coronavirus, but they did have big issues to deal with, like we all have to deal with. Issues to do with our families or our friends or our health. Issues to do with our past and the mistakes we may have made. Issues to do with the future and the fears that we may have. Is Jesus Christ big enough to help us with everything that we have to face in life? And there were some within the Colossian church that were saying that Jesus is good for starting out your Christian life. He's a bit like the 11 plus that you've got to take at school, if you remember what school was, or your GCSEs. But when you really hit the big stuff in life, the real stuff like worry or shame or doubt or fear or the future, you've got to look somewhere else more than Jesus. You've got to go past Jesus. You've got to have a kind of Jesus plus. To which Paul says in Colossians, no, 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 no. You never graduate from Jesus. To add on to Jesus is to take away from Jesus. Don't ever be tempted to move on from Jesus. Have you grasped how marvelous our Lord Jesus is? Is Jesus big enough to deal with your life and your death and everything in between? Can he cope with it all? Can he care? Does he care about it all? Answer, yes, 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 he does. He is big enough. He can cope with it. Let's just work through these words we've got in front of us, verses 15 through to 20, just as we think about how wonderful Jesus is. Let me read verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. When someone has a little baby, we saw a baby on the video before. When we see a new baby, we often say, oh, they've got their mum's eyes or their dad's appetite. Well, Jesus has his father's deity. That means he has his father's godness. No one has ever seen God, but if you were to look at Jesus, you would see what God is like. And what is God like? Well, Paul tells us that Jesus is number one, as we've been singing, in creation, and he's number one in salvation. He's number one in creation. He's number one in salvation. Let's look at that first point. He's number one in creation. Verse 16, for in him, that's in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or authorities, rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Everything was made by Jesus. Planets, protons, prawns, people. We were all made by the express command of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful to know? All those things that are visible, the physical world and the invisible world, the spiritual world, has been made by Jesus. The heavenly realm, everything in heaven above, has been made by Jesus. Presidents and popes and princes and politicians and rich and poor, everything that exists was made by Jesus. And everything that exists was made for Jesus. That's the amazing thing we read here. He is, we see, at the end of verse 15, the firstborn over all creation. What does that mean? It means that God the Father is planning one day to give all of creation to Jesus as an inheritance. It's all coming his way, like the firstborn would get all of what a mum or dad would pass on. So does Jesus care about what happens in his world? Of course he cares. It's his inheritance. It's Jesus' prized possession. Our Lord Jesus is not careless about things that go on in his world. In fact, he's so concerned with what happens that he continues, so to speak, to get his hands dirty in the running of his world day after day. So check out verse 17. It's an incredible line. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In other words, everything only exists today because Jesus says so. Everything only exists today because he's holding it all together. That is breathtaking, friends. That tells me that my life is in Jesus' hands. It tells me your life is in Jesus' hands. It tells me whoever you are, it's in his hands. It tells me the global situation with the pandemic in his hands. It tells me the microscopic movement of particles and bugs. It tells me that fires in Australia or 60-mile-an-hour gusts of wind that cause flash flooding. It tells me the rising of a president and a king and a queen, or the crashing of an economy, or the recovery of an economy. All in Jesus' hands. He is number one in creation. Friends, do you believe it? If you believed it, comfort it would give you. You see, nothing will happen to me or to us or to our nation or to our world without the express say-so of our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. Why would he care about it? Because he's number one in creation. He made it all. He cares for it all. He's gonna own it all. It's his inheritance. He holds it all together. So friends, as you're watching today, boys and girls, mums and dads, friends, grannies, grandpas, carers, is Jesus big enough to cope with my elderly granny or grandpa? Is he big enough to cope with the NHS? Or to cope with my health? Is he big enough to cope with my finances? Can he cope with it? Does he care about my struggle to go to sleep? Does he care about my worries, about my doubts? Does he care about my failures? Does he care about my past? Does he care about my marriage? Does he care about my loneliness? Does he care about my future? Does he care? Can he cope? Can he not care? Of course he cares. Of course he can cope. He's number one in creation. He's made all, it's in his hands. He's number one in creation. He's number one in salvation. That's the second point we're going to see. He's number one in salvation. When you go cycling on your bike, do you put on all over body armour to protect you? That's your chance to say, no, Dave, we don't put on all over body armour to protect us. I can't hear you, but if we're in church, you'll be shouting, no, that's a crazy thing to do. No, you only put one thing on. Your personal protective equipment is your helmet, your bicycle helmet. Why do you put your bicycle helmet on your head? It's because your head is the most important part of your body. And where your head goes, the rest of your body follows. And your head never does anything willingly to harm its body. Well, it's just like that with Jesus. He is the head of the body, we're told, verse 18, the church. So Jesus is the head, the church. God's people are his body. He's the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy, that word we're singing about. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. One day, because Jesus died on the cross and he rose again as our head, he's going to fix this broken world. He's going to take away all sickness and all sadness and all death. He's going to mend it. And he is going to be proved to be the Lord and the King of all. Now, let me try and illustrate it. I was trying to think about a way of communicating this. Let me try this one, see whether this helps. I've got a pen here and a post-it note. And I'm going to write down a word. Hopefully you can see this on my post-it note here. And I've written down the word Jesus. Okay, here's Jesus. And Jesus is number one in creation. He's number one in salvation. And we sing his praises. We love to worship him when we're together or when we're apart. And putting him first. Now, he's our Lord. He's our King. But actually, for a lot of the time, he seems really, really small, doesn't he? He seems tiny. And we kind of almost ignore him. You kind of, where have I put him? I was supposedly saying he's my number one. He's my all in all. But I've kind of ignored him. And maybe we've got our Bibles and we think, oh, thanks, Jesus. We had a nice time listening to the live stream on Sunday. Pop you in the Bible. See you next week, Jesus. And we kind of put him on our shelf. And we don't really think about Jesus. We don't kind of worry about who he is. We kind of ignore him. And he's so tiny. And our friends, maybe they ignore him. And he's tiny to our friends. And he's tiny to some of our family members who don't know Jesus and don't love him. He's just seemed almost irrelevant to them. And then there's this nasty thing, the coronavirus, okay? And it's huge. It seems massive, right in the front of our view all the time. And Jesus, here's Jesus, he seems tiny. He seems really, really, really small compared with the coronavirus. And sometimes he almost seems like he's been blocked out by the coronavirus, which is kind of taken over. Is that how reality is, friends? That's not reality, friends. Jesus is number one. He is Lord of all, which means that actually reality is that he is there and he's real and he's far, far, far bigger than you or I. Compared with Jesus, we're the small ones. He's the enormous one. He's supreme. He's king. He's number one of creation. He's number one in salvation. Here's the coronavirus. Can you even see it compared with Jesus here? He's got it in his hands. He is Lord of all. There's no denying it. The trouble is we don't remember that. We forget that Jesus is so big and so mighty on a Monday. We forget him when we're struggling with our friends and our family and our health. But boys and girls, mums and dads, carers, friends, as you watch on today, remember Jesus is number one in salvation. He's number one in creation. He is the Lord of all. Now, I think that's such good news for us that we're going to pause just for a moment and we're going to sing a song of praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's called Fairest Lord Jesus. I think lots of you know it. If you don't, you can listen along, but otherwise you can join in and sing this amazing song of praise to our beautiful Saviour Jesus.
To
Jesus is number one in creation, and he's number one in salvation. So what? We'll have a look down in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. We'll quickly look at these verses. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Now, there's some really tricky words, aren't there, in our passage? Once you look at the words again, alienated, what does that mean? Enemies in your minds, evil behavior, reconciled, physical death of Christ, holy, lots of tricky words. If you continue in your faith, I don't know whether you struggle to understand the Bible sometimes. When I don't understand the Bible, sometimes I want to ask someone else about it. Now, I wonder, I've got Mark Wiltshire's old tin can here. I wonder whether I can get in touch with the Apostle Paul, who we spoke to last week. Shall we have a go? Let me try and do it. Hello, this is the Apostle Paul. How can I help you? Oh, Paul, it's me, it's Dave, calling you again from Cardiff in AD 2020.
Oh, how lovely to hear from you, Dave. Yeah, I'm still here in Rome. It's 60 AD, and I'm still here in lockdown. I'm writing letters to various people and churches to encourage them to remember that Jesus is the best, so stick with him. No matter how many difficult things we face, things like prison, or things like nasty sickness and disease, Jesus is so much bigger than them all, so we should stick with him.
How did you get hold of my paper? Oh, never mind.
Listen, Dave, how's your week been going?
That is very odd. Yeah, I'm okay, thanks, Paul. We're still here in lockdown, but we're counting our blessings. There's so much to be thankful for. This weekend, we've been celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Second World War.
Wow, I didn't know there was going to be a world war in the future, and certainly not two of them. Though, sadly, I'm not really surprised.
Why do you say that, Paul?
Well, Dave, you see, the main reason that there are wars and that people fight is because they're proud and that they're selfish and they want their way more than they want anyone else's way. Like when a brother and a sister are fighting over a toy. A war is a bit like that, only where it's grown-ups who are doing the fighting over bits of land, over the people who live in those bits of land.
I think I get it. Go on.
Well, being proud and selfish is a problem that every single person has, whether you're just a little boy or a little girl or young, or whether you're old, whether you're squabbling with your family or you're a general who's running an army of soldiers. Pride and selfishness go on in our hearts.
I know they go on in my heart, Paul.
And the reason that we're proud and the reason that we're selfish is because we've all turned our backs on God. In fact, you could say that we're at war with God in our minds and in our actions, the kind of things that we do. And the most important thing that all of us need to do is to make up with God.
Well, how do we do that, Paul?
I knew you'd ask me that. We need to make up with God by trusting in Jesus and trusting in Jesus' death on the cross for us. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, it was like he was the perfect soldier who died in place of other people so that they don't have to die. And just as you've been so grateful and thanking all those people who gave up their lives for us, well, so you can say thank you to Jesus for giving up his life, paying the price for our wrongdoing, trusting in Jesus and sticking with him. Now, what were you calling me about, Dave?
Well, I was actually going to ask you about some tricky verses in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23, but you've kind of answered them for me.
Oh, well, great. I'm so glad to hear that, Dave, but I'm always here. But you know, normally the best thing that you can do is just keep on reading what I've written in the Bible and asking God to help you, because I wrote it because the Holy Spirit helped me. So you can ask him to help you too, and you won't be far wrong.
Oh, thanks, Paul. I'll try to remember that next time. Thanks again so much, and goodbye.
Until next time, Dave, goodbye.
Well, so have you seen, friends, that the message could not be clearer. Jesus, number one in salvation. He's number one in creation. And that's why we need to stick with him. The fact is, once upon a time, we were separated from God. We were enemies in our minds because of our actions. We were fighting against God like a war. But yet when Jesus came, he died on the cross like a soldier, giving up his place so that we could be saved and to be brought into a relationship with Jesus instead. This person who's number one, this person who has made the world, who holds the world, who rules the world, who's done so much, gave his life that you and I might be saved and be welcomed into his family. And so, of course, we should stick with him. If you continue in your faith, Paul says, continue, press on, keep on trusting Jesus. That is a really, really good word for us all today, isn't it, friends, as you're watching? The fact is, we do feel a bit scared. We do feel so small, but Jesus is so much bigger. He's so much greater. He's so much mightier, and he has done everything we need to have a relationship with God, to have peace with God, not just in our lives, but in eternity, that nothing can ever take away. So stick with him. Keep trusting in him today and tomorrow and the next day, every day. Don't file Jesus away in your Bible until this time next week. Put him first every day. Have him supreme every day. He is Lord. Will you treat him as Lord?